Daily Maverick Show on CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon. You're back with us on the Daily Maverick Show on Cliff Central. As usual, I'm Kingsley Kipuri. I'll be with you for the next just couple of minutes. We'll be talking about the anti-corruption march that's happening tomorrow. It's being billed as sort of the biggest event and biggest march in post-apartheid South Africa. So we really want to dig into what's happening tomorrow. And I hear there's a follow-up sometime in October. So I really want to dig into that. We're joined in studio, of course, with Greg, who was here for the first hour. We're also joined by ex-General Secretary of COSATU, Zwelinzima Mavavi, and Bali Kumalo from Students for Law and Justice.
Social justice.
For social justice, very different. Welcome to the show to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chef.
Now, I'd really love to talk about how the idea for the march actually started. If I'm not wrong, it started with a tweet asking sort of who would get behind a, sort of a march or some kind of protest action behind this, and that's sort of evolved to where we are now. What informed that tweet? Where did that come from?
Well, practical experiences that we have to go through all the time on the ground. The reality is that we all of us are at the point where we cannot deny anymore the scale of the corruption crisis in South Africa. It's a crisis both inside the public sector as well as in the private sector. And it is threatening our future, and it is threatening to destroy the potential our country possesses to be one of the beaters, the world beaters in relation to economy and addressing the crisis that we're going through of unemployment, poverty and inequalities. Mm. So when I sent out that tweet, it was just a test, and the response was overwhelming. Mm. We took the idea to the unions, and the unions said this is something that we should be doing. The unions convened a meeting with the civil society. 29 civil society organizations came to say that's what we should be doing. And from 29 now to over 250 civil society organization, incredible support, and we're quite excited, and we're having this conversation with you on the eve of the march. And I can tell you that we absolutely exhausted. We have been doing work. And I was joking with Mbali outside to say, when will this struggle come to an end?
She doesn't look like she's struggling. Mbali, you're making it work somehow.
A happy countenance, always.
maybe Mbali can tell us a little bit about, or both of you can, the organization that's gone into getting those 250 groups together. Because it's fairly unprecedented in the modern era, and I know some of the organizers have been running around the country speaking to all these different groups, unions. Tell us about the organization involved.
Well, I mean, as has been mentioned, we have hundreds of endorsing organizations that have really jumped on board. And it speaks to what Vavi has been talking about. It came from a tweet. The idea came from a tweet, and that platform, Twitter, is about literally people from every sector of society, just people saying something and having it be heard by the world, essentially, or potentially. So people got 250 plus organizers to jump on board. We did the work. We spent hours, making phone calls and writing about it and talking about it. This is just an example of us here today mobilizing and getting people involved. But this is such a huge issue anyway, and this is something that affects every single South African. So it wasn't difficult to get people to jump on board. People have had enough, and they're really looking forward to making sure that they've been a part, they can say they've been a part of making sure that we reverse what's been happening. We make sure that the future is brighter. So it took people to get those organizations, and took time and effort, and here we are today.
I mean, what do you think is the significance of having so many, not only people but bodies, and sort of organized bodies being part of this march and this movement?
I guess I'll start it off. There's this, a belief that a lot of corruption is institutional, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have leading or governing structures within an organization that make a commitment to be anti-corruption, I think that's a really good look. And I think that, it's a visual representation of what the structures in South Africa actually are for. So I think it's important for people to show up not just as individuals, but to show up and say, within my workspace, within the space that I'm in, that has those governing structures that should, you know, have good governance, I'm going to make sure that that's the case. So that's why it's so important to have both government, people and their organizations represented.
Now, Zweli, we're talking about so many different organizations coming together. In the democratic era, have you ever seen anything like this? Because we saw the marches led by Treatment Action Campaign and that whole movement to provide antiretrovirals for HIV-positive people. But I can't think of any other example where so many different people have come together.
No, never. This is the first of its kind post 1994. The UDF was a coalition that was absolutely broad, 400 to 600 organizations used to rally behind its anti-apartheid campaigns and its defiance campaigns and so forth. But post 1994, this is the first time. And we had a huge summit of civil society post 2010 World Cup, convened by COSATU. 67 civil society formations came and to endorse a campaign that we said must be about maintaining the momentum beyond the 2010, because 2010 showed us that South Africa is actually capable of doing things, and we showed that we can eliminate crime, and that our police are actually very efficient when they want to, and that our judicial system can sentence criminals in days. We showed that our people can resign from acts of criminality. We show that South Africa is actually a country that can rally behind a single goal. We said, can we do the same spirit around the education crisis, around the health crisis? Yeah. Unfortunately, in the context of the alliance, we were called names. I remember the Secretary General of the ANC again said that this was all about the regime change, angry that the ANC was not invited as a political party, and yet this was a perfectly civil society mobilization. We now were able to how many times is that? 67. This is many fold beyond 67. Mm. We're quite excited, you know. We hope that we can, as we're saying, this is no event to us. This is a process. We're starting tomorrow, and we intensifying on the 14th of October with a general strike focusing on corruption. We will be doing so many other things beyond that. There's a water crisis in Madibank. We will be there together because we find the connection between that water crisis and corruption. There is a crisis everywhere. We want to demand, for example, that the reports on local government corruption in the Northwest must be publicized. That's one of our demands tomorrow.
That's great. Yeah, because a lot of people are signing up and saying we hate corruption, we're fed up, but don't really know what the list of the concrete demands is. So I'd love if you could just run through this. What exactly
with Mali. Okay. But that's a critical demand. You know, we want the local government corruption that was investigated by the previous minister of COGTA, Stelo Shitega, be put up in public so that we can see who basically looted the resources of our people. That's one demand. We want the very legislation. It's an excellent legislation. Of course, we can talk about whether there is political will to enforce it. The anti-corruption or the prevention of corruption legislation. We want that to be strengthened. We want the legislation on the whistleblowers to be strengthened. We want the powers of the public protector clarified, but more importantly, we want to run a campaign that says hands off the office of our public protector and hands off all of our Chapter 9 institutions. We want many other demands that I can't remember offhand now that Mbali have them. It can just run.
There's
more.
A list.
Mbali just pulled out a couple of pages. I'm not sure. I'm not sure we have time for this.
Mbali, hit us with a few more key ones.
No. Okay. That was never my intention. Okay. I just, maybe two or three. One of the key ones are, you know, we want lifestyle audits of senior public servants should be conducted annually by the Auditor General or the Public Service Commission. Another one is that party political funding must be made transparent in public. So we have quite a few. And
we want the legislation that have not been signed into law to be signed into law and to be extended to all public representatives. The legislation that says public servants should not be allowed to do business with the state, we want that, yes, but we want also the cabinet ministers, the premiers, the MECs, the councillors, the mayors, everybody, not to be allowed to do business with the state through their companies, because we're trying to eliminate the whole idea of a conflict of interest in society.
What sort of, with bringing all these groups and different individuals together, when it comes to making a list of demands, I'm sure that there was quite a robust debate. Can you tell us about some of the compromises that might have been made in terms of how you reached this list of demands?
Well, I mean, he can sort of elaborate on my points, but demands are really, really important. And so we took quite a bit of time considering what should be on the list. And we did speak to communities, and there was some back and forth about the issues that were really prevalent. So there was a system that we followed, and we reached out to a number of organizations, a number of people who were really invested in the movement, and said, what do you want to make sure is on the list of demands? And they said A, B, C, and then we sort of brought them together and saw where there were agreements, and then just, you know, drafted it from that point on. So it was a collaborative approach that we took, because we think that's important.
And basically willingness to compromise and to always find the middle ground. This is a broadest coalition as you can imagine. There's hardcore Marxists whose starting point is that the very capitalist system is where corruption is deriving from, and that's what our focus should be, to the religious organizations who, from the scripture point of view, quote the Bible and say that anything that man eats that is of a forbidden fruit will be like gravel in your mouth. And you've got to find a way of managing all of that. And the left is broad itself. I mean, you can bring in Marxist here, you'll find that there are so many divisions amongst them. If you bring in religious organization, by the way, this is the first time the churches, the religious organizations on their own come together around a single matter post 1994. Never ever did we have, not just Christians, we've got a formal SACC churches, we up to the Zionists who beat the drums, and the conservative African churches, everybody inside, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Jews, and I've got ideas of
Moria in my head.
Have you been listening to Bishop Lekganyane in the recent years about corruption? He's been very, very firm, and all of them tomorrow will be marching shoulder to shoulder with the young people like Mbali and graying guys like some of us.
But surely there's a worry that, given the vast difference in ideology that you've mentioned, that this coalition will be short-lived. You're selling it as a long term. It's, we're going to be here to stay. But surely at some point the cracks are going to show on these different ideologies.
But you know what? The issue here is bigger. It's bigger than our differences. And I think we realize it at this point. So despite the fact that we come from different backgrounds and have different ideologies, you know, we can work on that and work with that in order to achieve our goal. We know that this is a people's problem. And as people without different ideologies, we can come together to better the conditions for the people. It's people. So, you believe what you believe, and we sort of have to work it out and keep it moving.
Yeah, I mean, people are seeing they've been postponed, the march has been postponed a couple of times. Now we're hearing that tomorrow is phase one, there's going to be a second bit, and people will point to that and see it's already, the wheels are already coming off before it started.
Not at all.
You
remember from the beginning we said it's a process. The 30th, will not lead to a situation where on Thursday, the 1st of October, all the corrupt hyenas declare that we have changed and that we're no longer going to involve in any corrupt activities. Hands Forget up. It. It is going to take a mobilized society, a citizenship that is absolutely active, demanding transparency and holding the leadership of both the, its own unions, in churches, in civil society, in the private sector, in government to account. Mm. That's what we're hoping to achieve, a much more informed, politicized citizenship that doesn't wait to, we will get them in our, in the election box. It doesn't work like that. That's a representative democracy. We want a participatory democracy where we can today say, you're no longer serving our interest. We want you out. We won't wait for the next 5 years. We're saying now, get out of the position that you hold. And I think that already we've done wonders. The levels of conscientization, this whole discussion and mobilization have created already in the country is itself a victory, even before we start marching and rolling mass action and sit-ins and all of the things that we may want to do in the future. I think that we've already succeeded. Mm. The country is only having one conversation, the state of corruption and how that is undermining our efforts to move into a different direction as a country to address poverty, unemployment and inequalities.
Couldn't, however, going ahead, deciding to go ahead tomorrow when NUMSA was denied its NEDLAC certificate in time and going ahead without full force and the full backing of union membership, couldn't it cripple the march before it even starts if there's a weak turnout tomorrow? Like, cripple the movement before we even get really underway?
Well, you know, of course, the news about NUMSA was just really, really unfortunate. Mm. And as, you know, a part of the organizing committee, it just, I don't know, but it didn't undermine any of our goals at all. We came and planned the march and said, this is the people's march. And because the workers aren't going to be there, we're going to show up anyway. And we're going to show up for them too. So that when they have it on the 14th and they're there legally, we're going to be there too. And we're going to support them in any way that we can. As it was said earlier, as Vavi so well put it, this is really a process. Mm. It's a process. Corruption is not going to end on the 1st of August just because we march, but we're showing that we're committed to starting this conversation in a productive way, in a way that's going to make sure that however long it takes and however many obstacles are thrown at us, we're committed to making sure that this is really dealt with. So I think just in terms of, you know, the NUMSA, the workers not being there, they're with us in spirit. We know we've organized for them to be there before, you know, the NEDLAC issue. So we know that we have their full support. This is just the beginning. It really is just the beginning. So everything's fine. Yeah.
It's a setback that unions will not be allowed to be in the to embargo in the strike tomorrow. But the workers are allowed to participate in the march. It's a perfectly legal march. Anyone who can negotiate with the employer nicely this afternoon and say, I will really want to participate, I think that you too should participate in the march as the employer, because any employer who have been in South Africa know that it is hardly possible or almost impossible now to do any business with the state without greasing the hand of some corrupt bureaucrat. And no employer wants to invest their money in conditions like that. So it is only in the best interest of the employers that the statement that our people are making tomorrow must be even louder. It's a pity that it's not a legal strike. We were saying that this is going to be the biggest march this country have ever seen in its history. We're aiming to put a minimum of 100,000 people in the streets of Pretoria tomorrow. We will not be able to do that without a strike. And but as we're saying, this is the beginning. This is just only a beginning. It's not going to be a small march still. And it's going to be a very, very...
But you still won't give us a number. You're saying it's not so big, it's not so small. Can you give us how many people are we expecting tomorrow?
But it is, I want to point out, it is a legal gathering. It is a legal gathering. It's just that the workers are not permitted to not go
not
to
protected.
Work.
Yeah.
Not protected, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but talking about the obstacles, we can't ignore the political element of this situation. And now I'm looking at Vavi here. Because this is obviously, you mentioned the ANZ Secretary General before and what his criticism of the march. But yourself and NUMSA have been critical in organizing this march. Both of you have been expelled from KASATU. Both of you are potentially in talks with uniting other unions or talking about a way forward for the working class, including other union leadership outside of KASATU, which could be a precursor to a new trade federation. NUMSA's General Secretary Irvin Jim, his personal preference is that he would like a socialist workers' party, even if NUMSA hasn't backed it yet. And you're marching to the union buildings and parliament. How can we not perceive it in that respect as an anti-ANC, anti-Zuma march?
No, it's not. It's anti any corrupt individual. I don't care who that individual is. They know themselves, whoever they are. And they are, and we don't want to present it as actually an anti-government, anti-ANC, anti-president, anti any individual. It is against those. Let's say what we're marching at. We're marching against those who would have kept quiet when they had approved a budget of 27 million rands for the security upgrades, and that who sat and did nothing when the media reported that the cost have escalated to over 60 million, who did nothing even when the reporters came back to say it has now escalated to over 100 million, and then to the staggering 246 million and more. Those who should have taken decisions to stop that, we're marching against them.
So isn't that Zuma and his close allies?
Absolutely. He too was in the cabinet. He too knew that there was now a swimming pool being dug in his house. He did nothing about it. He didn't stop the wastages of the taxpayers' money. We're marching against them. We're marching against those who have said and did very little when a 15 million rands was being used to upgrade security of a minister's house in Cape Town. We're marching against those who sat and did nothing when 350 million rands was being spent to upgrade the houses of the MPs in Parliament, and when that cost is way, way, way above anything you can imagine. We're marching against those who have done absolutely nothing that this country have as the, what we call this, Institute of Internal Auditors are saying we've lost 700 billion rands. We're marching against them. We're marching against the private sector which have cooperated with one another to send billions of rands that we're so desperately needing in the economy, and who the SARS report indicated that in 2012 alone, a $30 billion was left this economy in what they call the illicit cash flows. And we're marching against them. We're marching at the fact that the companies collude at the cost of 30 billion rands to set the price of milk, of bread, of cement above the reach of our people. We're marching against those who are involved in the price transfer or mistransfer, who are taking their goods out into the tax havens they created and the companies they've created into those tax havens, and then to dodge their responsibility to pay taxes to South Africa. We're marching against them.
Would you?
So it's a much broadly than one individual, but of course there are individuals inside everything that I've just said.
Mm-hmm. Would you invite ANC members? Would you be happy if the ANC and certain branches came out in support of the march?
Well, it's a people's march. Yeah. Anyone
Bali's nodding.
Yeah, I would love it if they come.
Okay.
I would love it. It is the People's March. And an important element that I'd like to mention, just to elaborate on that point, we're aware of what we're marching against, but what we're marching for is a cultural revolution in South Africa. So we know that, you know, we have this culture of corruption that's really been normalized. People see the headlines in the newspaper, and at this point, they don't blink twice. That's problematic, especially looking into the future of how we want to see the country run, what kind of people we want to see as our leaders in all aspects, in all sectors. So that cultural revolution, we realize, cannot take place if the people do not govern. So this march is essentially saying the people govern. The people shall govern, and they do.
Yeah. And so we've only got about 30 seconds left to go, but can you just tell us, each of you in a few words, what is your measure of success for tomorrow in like one or two sentences, or for this movement?
Do you want to go?
People must come, and people must be noisy.
Sure.
And they must terrify the corrupted.
Okay.
And the corruptees must feel that South Africa is just above, is about to wake up and to confront them.
Vale?
I think people must come, people must show up, and afterwards, people must show their commitment, prove their commitment towards ending this issue forever.
Okay. Thank you both for coming. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Zanzi Mavavi, Bali Kumalo, thank you so much. Please make sure to download the podcast and share it far and wide.
And subscribe.
And subscribe on iTunes. We'll see the march tomorrow. Will it be 100 people? Will it be 100,000? Only one way to find out.
King, right? Will you be there?
I will discuss with my employer and see if I can make it. Perfect. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Stay informed and up to date. It's the Daily Maverick Show, Tuesdays, 1 to 2 p.m. on CliffCentral.com.